radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 21. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Now, I just want you to know this was a good moment. I mean, even as he's coming across the coastline, everybody's happy to see him. Nobody wants him to leave. Everybody loves Paul. However, that is not the only side of his story. Even these Jewish leaders love Paul. They love hearing what God is doing out there among the Gentiles. It's frankly everything Israel was meant to do, be a testimony to the rest of the nation. So when they see things going on, God's in the center of it, they can't help but be happy about it. And the Bible says when they heard all this in verse 20, they glorified the Lord. So everything's good inside the council room. And then one speaks, it's James, it says, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, verse 20, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Now you may be right away thinking, wait a minute, aren't we supposed to walk away from the law? Interesting question, right? Do you know when people get saved, they don't right away make a break with every dimension of the vestiges of the old life? They don't understand. I often liken it to when we recall the conquest of the Promised Land. We have Joshua taking the people through a split Jordan River. They set up camp in Gilgal, and they circumcise everybody. Everybody's like totally vulnerable now. They're an army, and they're on the side that's dangerous. And every man is circumcised. They could have been killed right there. So there's a vulnerability. Like when we first get saved, we don't know what to do. We're just like, oh, I don't know where to start and what to do. But after they healed up, God gave them a plan, and they were going to go in against the biggest, baddest city in the Promised Land, Jericho. Big walls, formidable army. In center, you could have, they could flank from the north and the south. River would be over here. I mean, it's a bad idea. But it's God's idea, so it's not a bad idea. He says, you're going to walk around it one day, you're going to walk around it another day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, you're going to walk around it seven times, and the walls are going to fall flat. Do you know in your Christian life, it's sort of like that. God doesn't take the entire Promised Land and give it to you. He said, I'm not going to give you the whole thing. I'm going to give you little by little because the animals might overwhelm you. Just the critters, you know? The lions and tigers and bears, they're everywhere. So we need to do this piece by piece. And in your life, God is sanctifying you little by little. But what I do find oftentimes is that God will take Jericho in your life. Whatever Jericho was, the walls will fall down flat and there will be deliverance. I can't explain it, but I know it was true in my own life. There were things I did after I got saved that I think, well, man, I can't believe I did that because they didn't even register on the Geiger counter of my conscience yet because Jericho fell. I was good. But as time went on, God kept working on me and is still working on me to this day, may I say. And what we see here is something of that in these people. It says they're zealous of the law. And I'll explain more about that in a moment, but it says, and they are informed of thee, verse 21, you teach the Jews that are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. This is not true. He never told them to forsake Moses. He would be content for them to continue to put Moses in his proper place. Moses has a real place for you and me. I don't care what scholars are flirting with on the party line across Christendom today. The Old Testament was written for our admonition, our learning, for our instruction. They are given as examples. We can read that Old Testament, understand things about how God is and who God is, and as tutors, be brought along in our Christian life just as they were, to a different degree, certainly. But nevertheless, we learn from them things about God. And the Bible says you told those people to forsake Moses, that they ought not to circumcise their children. He didn't tell them that, neither to walk after the customs. And he didn't tell them that either. If you were to dive in and parse some of the things that the Israelites were up against, you might find that there's many places where Paul would put things in perspective for us if we were to read them. For instance, Romans 14:6 says, he that regardeth the day, The Sabbath day would be pretty much what was in his mind, because he's going to deal with meat offered to idols on one hand and Sabbath day for the Jews. These people all came out of a place that was different. You know, if you were an idol worshiper, you couldn't buy certain meat that was offered to idols and sold cheap on the clearance aisle at the end of the day, because you'd feel bad. That was idol meat. I can't eat that. And so it took a while for them to get past the scruples that made them think, oh, that's idol meat, I shouldn't eat that. And he says, don't destroy your brother for that. But he says, some regard the day. Paul says in 14:6 of Romans, he says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord doth he not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. This is the meat offered to idols. And he eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. But he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. 1 Corinthians 9 says, to the Jews I became as a Jew. Remember that? He didn't go in there and just turn over their apple cart. He tried to show them Jesus. Let Jesus take care of it. Jesus is the secret to the Christian life. Did you know that? You put him in the center of your heart and everything else will start straightening out. Sort of like a glove that's all withered. That's you and me. He put him in there and started, okay, now we got something going on. And he straightens everything out. Your life, my life, God is in the business of straightening us out. Doesn't happen all at once, little by little, incrementally. But he delivers, and he delivers to the uttermost, ultimately, because once we're saved, we're as good as glorified. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of Jesus, and whom he did predestinate, them he also glorified. Past tense, once you got saved, you got it all. And now it's work out your own salvation, knowing it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what we see is, he says to the Jew, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. He didn't mind being everything they needed him to be, so that there were no barriers to the conversation. If Paul would have said, you got to abandon the law of Moses, you got to abandon the circumcision, you got to abandon the customs, he would have never got to the heart of the matter. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you realize how cool this is, what he did? He's this fulfillment. He sat there, he went in as a rabbi into the synagogues, and they would let him speak because he was apparently one who had some status with whatever clothing he was wearing. It says in 1 Corinthians verse 21, to them that are without the law is without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. So he says, listen, I don't even worry about the law anymore, because I know that the law of Christ is under one amazing heading. It's called love. You know, if somebody's having a breakdown, you don't go in there and say, knock it off and slap them. I mean, maybe there's that hysteria. Sometimes people do that in a movie or whatever. But what you do is you get down under and you come in close and you come in quietly and you come in calmly and you try to calm them down. Many times people are their own worst enemy to the point where they'll never get to the cross, because what they've done is they've continued to thrash. I had the same thing said to me that Wayne had said to him in recent days. There's all these churches. They're all reading the same Bible. They have a different viewpoint on things. There's all these Bible versions. How do we know what to believe? I've had the same question in recent days. And my answer to that is simple. That's exactly what the devil would see too. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus. He would flood the market with churches. He would flood the market with Bible translations. And he would try to keep the Bible out of the people's hands altogether. But if he can't do that, he's going to flood the market with them. And by the way, the Dark Ages were a whole lot of hiding the Bible in Latin, so the average guy couldn't read it. People died to get it to you and me. And what I'm saying is that we have exactly what we would expect. And the Bible says, straight is the gate, few there be they find it. We got to strive to enter in at the straight gate, because the devil has flooded the market. And that's exactly what you would expect him to do. And so it's not really a mystery to those of us who think about it at length. The Bible says that they were hearing all these things about him in verse 21. None of them were absolutely true. And it says, what is it therefore? The multitude, verse 22, must needs come together. And he's talking about the people of Israel as well as the Gentiles. We need to figure out a way to build a bridge. For they will hear that you are come. You may remember last week that when he was in Judah, he only saw Peter and he saw James, but nobody else. It says that those people in Judah heard that, you know, he who persecuted the church now preaches Jesus, and they glorified God in me. They had the knowledge of Paul, but they had never been exposed to Paul personally. It had been like 25 years before this happened. Paul's ministering for like 25 years. And he's never preached to the Jews, but man, his heart wanted to. But he knew that they had this hitch. So he takes counsel with the elders and with James. He says, take a vow with a couple other guys we got. And he says, be at charges with them, verse 24. Show them that you keep the law. Interesting word. He says that you keep the law. There's two words for keep. Tereo means to guard something. But this is the word phulasso. And phulasso means to keep something in safe custody against assault from outside. Paul wrote these words. He says, we don't put aside the law, we establish the law. So Paul knew how the law worked. He said, you know, in Jesus, the law is fulfilled. He, being perfect, never sinning one time, completely fulfilling the law. Not only its demands in life, but its demand for judgment in death. Jesus not only fulfilled the law by living it perfectly, but he died a death he didn't deserve to die. And so in Christ, we are immersed. And by taking Jesus as our Savior, we establish the law. We admit that God knows what our sins are. We take Him as our Savior, and we get credit for all of His righteousness. And He pays our sin debt by shedding His blood when it should have been our blood. Jesus answers every objection to your entry and my entry into heaven. He answers every objection. His wounds plead for us. His life pleads for us. And he now is an advocate for us in 1 John chapter 2, we're told, representing us before the Father every single moment of every single day. That is awesome. So Paul knew what the law was. He did want to safeguard it because the law is good if it be used lawfully. It's not written for the righteous. It's written for the ungodly and sinner. And this is what's happening today with seeker sensitivity. They say, we need to get rid of the law because we don't want to offend anybody. No, the law is good when it's used lawfully. It is for those people that are seeking, that they might know what sin looks like. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. This is going to happen and you're going to be judged. You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. You need salvation. And I've got a whole bunch of people in my train here that were just like you. And if you'll trust Jesus, you can join our holy band and go on to heaven too. That's what Jesus does. And the law is the stepping stone that reminds us of the character of God. Paul wrote these words, is he the God of the Jews only? This is in Romans 3:29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. He does it the same way. Do we make void then the law through faith? God forbid. Yay, we established the law. Because we're saying Jesus satisfied it. And God was pleased with his sacrifice. So we see him being told, you need to kind of get everybody comfortable with your presence. You need to let them know you're like us. You're jealous for these things. Paul had no problem with this. To the Jews, I'll be a Jew. I'll be whatever I need to be. And I love the Jewish pageantry and ritual. Why? Because God loved it. It was a picture on earth of what was true in heaven. Now listen, in the millennial kingdom, they're going to be going through all of those rituals and they're going to be doing a priesthood and they're going to be teaching all the Gentiles, hey, come on over and look at this sacrifice. This was all about Jesus. That's what they're going to be told. They're going to be shown it. The Jews are going to be a centerpiece in God's plan for the millennial kingdom. They're going to be, as a nation, it seems, more like what the temple was to the nation of Israel. Israel's going to be like the epicenter of worship to all of the other nations who will come periodically through the years. They're going to become a nation of priests for the entire world. And the nations will be able to interact with them as well as to David, and Moses, and Jesus. They're all going to be there. It's going to be a good day. Just going to be a good day.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage, We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.